following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
9:06 in a very special edition of the Jerry Bader Show. First, we're on camera. That normally does not happen. Second, and more importantly, this is our sixth congressional debate, Republican primary. And a number of pieces of housekeeping. First, this debate sponsored and presented by Dual Financial Strategies. I want to tell you a little bit about how this is going to happen. By the way, of course, you are likely listening to this on one of the stations on which my show airs, WTAQ Green Bay, WSAU Wausau, WHBL Sheboygan. You can also video stream the debate live at jerrybadershow.com. You will be able to see the candidates, see what's going on in a format. It will also be archived there. If you're listening on the radio now and want to catch the video at a later date, it will also be archived there as well. You can check it out there. And this being the 21st century at all, we are also into the social media. We will be live tweeting our broadcast journalist here in Green Bay, Jeff Flint, will be live tweeting the comments of the candidates at Jerry Bader Show on Twitter. And you can weigh in. And if time allows, during the brief breaks that we have, I may take a look. You can, if you want to react to what the candidates are saying, you can do that at hashtag Jerry Bader, all one, obviously, on Twitter, and you can weigh in that way. Brief discussion. The candidates have already been informed of this, of course, on how this is going to work today. Particularly the first hour is going to be a little unorthodox. It's not going to be the standard introductory comments. You get 90 seconds, you get 30 seconds, and so on. I had told the candidates I want it more free form than that. So what's going to happen is, in no particular order, I'm going to start asking questions. In no particular order, in an order that I think is relevant to the question, I will let the next candidate respond, and we'll go on through. The first hour of the debate is going to focus on what I have referred to as the dynamic of the race to date. And by that, I mean things that have been said in advertising, things that candidates have said about one another, and so on. The second hour is going to be issue-driven. The issues that whoever wins this race, and ultimately if they were to become congressman for the 6th District, that they would be dealing with in Washington. So, with all of that boilerplate out of the way, we will get underway. And again, there's no particular order here except that I think it's relevant to the topic matter that I'm bringing up. So I want to start with, as I said, things that candidates have been saying about each other. And I'm going to start with State Senator Joe Leibom. I did not introduce the candidate, so I should probably do that. We have State Senator Joe Leibom. We have
Jerry.
Tom Dino. We have State Senator Glenn Grothman, State Representative Dewey Strobel.
Morning.
Obviously, you can see them on video, but if you're listening on the radio, by the way, it is from at my right, it's Joe and Tom, and then to my left, it's Glenn and Dewey. So I want to start with State Senator Joe Leibom. Senator Leibom, it has been suggested in campaign ads by Representative Strobel that you're the type of politician that has been the problem in Washington, that if you went there, you'd be part of the problem and not the solution. I have characterized this, and I'll let Representative Strobel answer to that, but I have characterized it as an effort to morph you into Congressman Tom Petri. So I have a question for you, and I'm going to pose this to all four. If I were to say to you, Senator Leibom, you'd make a congressman just like Tom Petri, would you be flattered or insulted? And explain your answer.
Well, I'm going to be a congressman who's Joe Leibom. And I work hard. I'm a conservative. I've always stood firm on my conservative principles. And I think my opponents have been misrepresenting exactly how strong I am, not only Mr. Strobel, but Senator Grothman as well. I have never caved on my conservative principles. And I think this morning is just a great example of that. Both Representative Strobel and Senator Grothman would have had us compromise on our photo ID bill. They wanted to weaken and create loopholes in a good, strong law that we passed, that Governor Walker signed into law. And today, the court upheld that strong law. Again, they would have compromised and caved to the suggestion that maybe that court wasn't going to stand up. I stood up. And I stood strong for the law that we have. I've done that just about in every case throughout my legislative career. And, you know, I'll stand up out in Washington as well. If they're going to cave to suggestion that our court might not uphold our law here in Wisconsin, they're going to cave potentially to, you know, Nancy Pelosi and to the pressures out in Washington, D.C. So I'm, you know, real proud of my convictions, of my solid conservative record. And again, I will stand strong on the conservative principles that the residents of the 6th District want to have move forward and upheld out in Washington.
So, okay, if Dewey is comparing you, or if anybody were to compare you with Tom Petri, do you think it's fair or unfair?
Well, there's no comparison. I'm Joe Lightbom. Congressman Petri is Congressman Petri. I have been working hard over the past 3.5 months to let the voters and the constituents of the 6th District get to know who Joe Lightbom is. And I will go out to Washington, D.C. as Joe Lightbom, a strong conservative, someone who isn't going to compromise, someone who's going to stand firm on what I believe is right for the residents of this district.
Probably won't surprise you. I'm going to turn to Representative Dewey Strobel to next. And I will, I know it's certainly, I want you to respond to everything Joe said, but I do want you to start with, if I were to say you would make a congressman just like Tom Petri, would you be flattered or insulted? And can you explain your answer?
Well, I think it would be really a stretch to ever compare to me to Congressman Tom Petri. I've been 30 years in the private sector, and Tom Petri was 35 years as an elected official. So I think we're probably about on the opposite ends of the spectrum in that regard. And listening to Senator Lightbom talk over there, I mean, that's what politicians do. You know, they say things that really don't mean anything. Because right now, Joe, are we going to have voter ID this fall? Is it going to be in place, voter ID?
No, because Judge Adelman, a very liberal judge, who said that no
right.
photo
it
ID law would be acceptable.
Right.
No,
won't
this
be
is
in
the
place.
Case, Dewey.
It won't
Dewey,
be in place.
Dewey.
So don't. So what the here's
your
the
law
issue.
Would have compromised to the Supreme Court.
I will give you another chance. We do it, son. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, here's the issue here. Right. We won't have voter ID. And, you know, as much as Joe seems to say he's the reason why we almost have voter ID, Joe's the reason why we don't have voter ID right now. Because this law is unconstitutional. Now, like that or not, it's been deemed unconstitutional, whether we agree or disagree. And we knew this was coming. That's why in the Assembly, we passed a fix to the voter ID law. And it was supported by the governor. And in fact, the governor went so far as to say he was going to hold a special session in order to get that voter ID law done, because we knew this was going to happen. But Joe is out on the record saying he blocked that voter ID fix, and the authors of that in the Assembly will verify that for anybody, and it's out there on the record. And because of Joe Lightbom, we don't have voter ID, because if we had passed that fix law was virtually identical to the Indiana voter ID law. Voter ID isn't out-of-the-box thinking. There's many states that have it. And the Indiana voter ID law has passed United States Supreme Court muster. And if we would have incorporated that assembly bill, which was basically paralleled the Indiana voter ID law, and that the governor supported and the governor wanted, we would have voter ID this fall. Now, I want to ask Joe, why did you buck the governor when he wanted that voter ID passed?
Dewey, the compromise that you guys submitted and approved in the Assembly was based on concerns that you had with the Wisconsin State Supreme Court ruling. And I don't know if you've haven't heard the news this morning, but the Wisconsin State Supreme Court found our law constitutional. We have always understood that the liberal judge, Judge Adelman, would find our law and probably any law, like in his ruling. Again, I don't know if you've read his ruling, but he's basically said he would not approve any photo ID law to go into place. And that's why now Governor Walker and the Attorney General and I have worked to move that case forward to an appeal. And I believe, just like I did with the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, that our strong law will be found constitutional by the United States Supreme Court. The bill that you proposed with Representative Voss, again, was because you had concerns with potential rulings against the law by the state Supreme Court. This morning, they upheld it. And I take great pride in the fact that in the Senate, we worked hard and stood firm on a strong law. Your law would have created a big loophole. And it would basically said anyone can come in on election day and they simply state that they can't afford an ID or the documentation. They'd sign a statement and then they'd be able to vote. It's actually more liberal than the Indiana law, Dewey. Again, in the Indiana law, the voter has to come back and prove their identity. Under your bill, that wouldn't have happened.
Okay, Dewey, go ahead and respond to that. Sure. And then I do want to let the other two candidates
in.
Go ahead.
Joe, you're wrong. Because
no, I'm not.
That's not the way it is. It's not the way it is at all. And that's, again, why the governor wanted that bill and you bucked the governor on that.
No, I stood firm on a good, strong photo ID law to protect the residents and the votes of this bill.
The governor understood the importance of that bill, and you stopped it from coming through.
That's not the truth.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not, Dewey.
It is true.
No, I stood firm behind the solid law that we have that was upheld by a five strong
decision. Did the governor not say he wanted to call a special session to pass that voter ID fix bill? Did he not say that?
He didn't say he wanted to pass your bill. He said that we should come into special session if we need to deal with issues based on the state Supreme Court.
For a voter ID fix, the one the assembly did. That's what he did.
No, that's not the truth.
Yes, it is. And when that bill would have been passed, it had passed Supreme Court muster. Sure, there's activist judges out there, but that would have been run up to the flagpole very quickly. So we would have had that in place this fall. And we have a very important gubernatorial election. I think everybody understands the value of integrity of the election box. And now it's going to be lessened because we don't have voter ID because you blocked it, Joe. And that's just a fact.
No, we don't have voter ID because we have an extreme liberal judge at the federal level who has said point blank that no photo ID law would be acceptable. That's what we now have to deal with. Now we have the Attorney General, Mr. Holder, coming down and saying that he's not going to allow a photo ID law. That's the challenge. But we should take pride in the fact that we have a strong law in place in Wisconsin that's going to protect the integrity. Yes, we do. It's law.
Okay, we got it. Now we have the feedback loop going on here that I've been trying to control against. No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't. So, Glenn Grothman, if you can go back to my original question,
yeah, we'll answer the question.
Yeah.
Tom Petri, I'm sure, is a good father and husband. I am not committing like Tom Petri, and if I get there 2 years from now, people say you're just like Tom Petri, I would be insulted, quite frankly. I mean, he's a nice guy. But as you know, I ran against Tom Petri originally. I had been disappointed in Tom Petri for quite some time. I think we compare him to the other Republican congressmen we've had over the last 10 or 12 years, be it Paul Ryan or Jim Sensenbrenner or Mark Green, whatever. Congressman Petri was the most liberal of the bunch. I think when the Republicans had control under George Bush and spent way too much money, I think Tom Petri was typical of the problem there. I think when the Republicans were adding to the welfare state under President Bush, Tom Petri was one of the ones who went along. And when I get to Washington, if the Republican Party is not going in the right direction, I will object. When Tommy Thompson was governor, I was one of the few Republicans who was outspoken at the time and said Tommy Thompson was spending too much money. And if we get Republican leadership team who goes down the path that Tom Petri goes down, I will scream about it. So, no, I'm going to be very different. That's why I ran against him. I didn't wait for him to leave before I got in. I ran against him in the first place. And I'd been disappointed in him for quite some time. I would have run against him earlier if more of my state Senate district was in his congressional district.
All right, and Tom Dino, you can answer the original question. Glenn chose not to, but you can respond to anything you've heard so far.
As far as me being appreciating whether I'd be compared to Tom Petri, I have very little in common, I think, with Tom Petri as far as my background, because I have, and with a lot of the other candidates, because I come from practical experiences working in industry, being a manager, and being a teacher. So I think Tom Petri did a lot of good things for the district. There are some things that I look at his record that I would not have went along with, but I think he did try to serve the people the best he could. And as far as serving the people, if I was compared to him for his ability to serve the people, I think I'd be honored by that, but I do not agree with the things that he has done as far as some of the things he has voted for in the past.
All right, next question I would like Representative Strable to answer first. You've positioned yourself as the outsider in this campaign, particularly in your ads, and I may be mistaken, but I don't think you mentioned that you currently serve in the state assembly in your advertising. And you've called two of your opponents, Senators Grothman and Liepom, career politicians. Do you see your time in the assembly as an asset or a liability on your resume? And if it's an asset for you, why is it a liability for them?
My DNA is from the private sector. I mean, I've spent, in 2011, I joined the assembly, but my focus has always been my private sector experience and what that can bring to government. I've grown a business, I employ people, I meet a payroll, I know what it's like to balance a budget, I know what it's like to try to make the numbers work every year. And I think we need a lot more influence of that in Washington, D.C. We've got Washington, D.C. is filled with people who make their living in politics. That's their career. Well, I look at it as public service. I look at it as our founding fathers intended. We want citizen legislators, people who come from the real world. They come in and legislate for a period of time because they understand the real world. They've lived there. They've been there. They've done that. And then ultimately, they come back to the real world and to live under those laws and regulations that they created. I think that's how we get the best government in this country. I think that's what our founding fathers intended for. And I think that's a reason why we have a lot of the issues we do in Washington, D.C. right now, because we don't have enough people that have come from the real world. We've got political professionals that pontificate and theorize, and I don't think we get the best results from those type of people. We need more influence, I believe, of people from the real world.
Senator Grothman, we'll let you go next.
Well, it's a little bit of an insult. I have dealt with people who were businessmen who came to the legislature and did a lousy job. I've dealt with businessmen who came to the legislature and did a good job. Dewey Strobel, I've represented Cedarburg, and Dewey Strobel has watched me for quite some time. Since Dewey Strobel got to the state legislature, he has watched me pass 60 bills that Governor Walker signed. Well, he passed six. He has watched me be out in front on tort reform, an issue that he has not been out in front on. He's watched me be out in front of tax reform and tax simplification, an issue he has not been out in front on. He has watched Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the big major business group, list in the last 4 years the most important bills that they felt had to be passed. He watched me author 10 while he's authored none. I like Dewey. He votes for my bills. I'm glad he votes for my bills. But to imply that because I've been in the legislature for 20 years that somehow I'm not doing a good job is ridiculous. You know, just like any job that your listeners can think of, maybe you have somebody who's been there 20 years and is all burned out, and maybe you have somebody who's 20 years and using that experience to get better and better. And, you know, I think every year I learn more in the legislature. I learn more about federal intrusion on issues, and it's going to make me a better U.S. congressman because I now know more of the things that have to be changed. I have not slowed down at all, and for Representative Strobel to imply that is just an insult. I can think of some of my colleagues who've slowed down, and if, you know, Dewey Strobel was running against one of them, that would be a fair shot. But for Dewey to imply that I have slowed down or I'm somehow not going to bat for the business community is just an obvious lie and something that's cooked up by some campaign consultant.
I'm going to let Dewey respond to that, and then we're going to have Senator Leibman. Dewey, you can respond to what Glenn just said.
Sure. Well, I'd like to ask Glenn, what do you think of Ron Johnson? Do you think he's doing a good job for us in Washington, D.C.?
Ron Johnson's doing a great job. Mark Pocan is not doing a good job. They're both
businessmen. Well, Ron Johnson's doing a great job, and Ron Johnson never had a vote before he got to Washington, D.C., and I think he's doing a great job. We're very proud of him, and he has no government experience, but look at the difference he's making. He's standing out. He's making change, and that's the type of representative we need. He understands things. He's not in this just for a job or career. He's in this because he wants to make change, and I'm proud to have Ron Johnson, and I'll tell you, you know, he doesn't have the legislative record. As far as my legislative record, in the 3 years I was there, I took on issues that people weren't willing to tackle for years. I fought for double dipping, and I got that bill incorporated into law. It passed the Assembly my first session. It failed in the Senate. I got pushback from people I thought were on my side of the aisle even on that. But ultimately, thank God for the governor, he put it in his budget, and now the reforms to double dipping of when someone retires and then they come back to the exact same job, sometimes in as little as 30 days, and they get their salary and a pension at the same time. That was just wrong. But that hadn't been dealt with for years by the politicians. Another issue, early in-person voting, absentee voting. That was something we had abuses in Milwaukee and Madison. There were not standardized rules throughout the state. It was just unfair to our election process to have what was going on. And I stepped out. I did battle with, got that bill going in February of 2013. I did battle with the Democrats. I went toe-to-toe with a bunch of people on that. I got that thing passed through the Assembly. And it wasn't until November of 2013, 8 or 9 months later, before one senator decided to jump on that bill. Well, that bill now has been signed by Governor Walker. It's law, and I'm proud of that. But it took 8, 9 months of me fighting by myself to get that thing done, because nobody else wanted to jump on it. So, you know, again, I've got some good successes, and I have other successes too in the legislature, which I'm not going to enumerate them. But again, my bills, 60% of my bills passed, and I'm a relatively young legislator. Glenn's been there for 20 years. 30% of his bills passed. I think that says a little something in terms of the success ratio and the magnitude of the bills that you approach and tackle.
Okay, Glenn, a relatively brief response, and then we'll get to Senator Liapham.
Well, I think Dewey has still not explained why he feels I've slowed down all the bills I passed. As far as bills I introduced that don't move, there are bills on things like workers' compensation reform, bills on prevailing rate reform that might take years to get through the legislature. This session I got a bill added to the budget on tax credits for private schools. I've had that bill for 20 years. If you take on controversial bills like I do, they don't all pass. But I'm not going to not introduce a bill because it might fail. I do take on controversial issues, win or lose.
All right. Representative Strobel, I'll let Joe respond, and I'm sure he's going to have something you're going to want to respond to, and then we'll go from there. Senator Lyon, Joe, go ahead, pick it up.
Well, I feel real good about the kind of background and the diversity of experience that I bring to the legislature. I served, worked in the private sector for a good number of years, working for the Sheboygan County Chamber of Commerce, working for Sargento Foods. It was at those that organization and that business that I developed a real strong appreciation for why it's so important that we as a government work to make Wisconsin a better place for businesses to be operating so that they can create jobs. And it was actually at Sargento where the leaders of that business came and said to me, hey, Joe, we need a good business-minded guy like you to consider running for the legislature. Would you run for this assembly seat that hasn't been represented by a Republican in over 40 years, but we need you to take a shot at it? And I did that. And every day that I go to the Capitol, I mean, to suggest that I've been taken over by government, again, is just not a correct representation of who I am. Every day that I go to the Capitol, first and foremost, I'm there to represent the residents of the 9th Senate District and to, you know, just fight for the average Wisconsinite. And then I'm also there every day to work to try to move forward those economic development, job creation opportunities. I've got a solid record as well. You know, usually we don't like to tout all these bills that we pass because I don't know if we need all that many new laws in Wisconsin, but I've had over 90 bills passed and signed into law in the time that I've been in the state Senate. And I take pride in the great focus that I've had on, again, making Wisconsin more competitive for businesses and for job creations, reducing taxes, reducing regulations. Those are the things that, you know, were encouraged of me when I was asked to run for the legislature and that motivate me every day. I want to, you know, have this economy thrive. And that's the focus that I bring. I've been on the Jobs Committee through every legislative session. I serve on the Finance Committee focusing on economic issues. I'm the Senate representative on the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. You look at my, you know, the support that I've received in this campaign for Congress. I've got some of the biggest, you know, managers of businesses in the 6th District supporting my candidacy because they know of the focus and the work that I do to try to help out that one element of what we can do in government. And in regard to, you know, working in the legislature of public service experience, again, I would share that Governor Walker has exactly the identical time of public service experience as I do. And I don't know if Representative Strobel is suggesting that Governor Walker shouldn't continue to serve and that he isn't, you know, fit to serve as governor for our state again for the next 4 years. Because, again, he was elected at the exact same time as I was, actually even before. In partisan office, and is he going to suggest that that's a bad thing, that Governor Walker isn't fit to serve any longer?
So I will let Representative Strobel respond to that. And, Mr. Dino, when we come back after the 9:30 break, then you will get a free – I don't want to rush you because they've had plenty of time. Representative Strobel, go ahead.
Sure. Well, again, that's a politician's answer the way I see it. Our governor has had three different elected offices in the period of time, and he's making a difference. He's a leader, and that's what we need. We need leaders. You know, I'm hearing my opponents talking more and more about the free market, and, you know, that's really where we need to be, the free market, not crony capitalism. I think, you know, advancing business bills, you know, that's great, but let's keep talking more and more about the free market because that's the direction we need to go and not in the direction of, you know, crony capitalism type things. But as far as what they say as being politicians, again, I come from the private sector and that is my experience. And like I said, I've got 30 years there. And I think that's what we need to get more influence of in Washington, D.C. right now. You know, we've got plenty of people that make their living in government, that get their check every 2 weeks from the taxpayer and have for years. But I think that it's a different motivation, it's a different style, and right now, I think it's the career politicians that have gotten us into this mess in Washington, D.C., and I don't think they're going to be the ones to get us out of it. So, again, I want to focus on the positives of me, and the positives of me is the private sector experience that I bring and the real world experience that I bring. And just like Senator Johnson, I think that's what we need more of in Washington, D.C. right now.
It's 9:30. This is our first break of this hour, and we'll pick this up. We'll let Mr. Dino respond to that and anything else we need to clean up on that. A quick note, if you see me looking at my watch, if you're watching the stream at JerryBaderShow.com, I'm not doing the George H.W. Bush where I'm distracted. I need to keep an eye on the time. It is 9:30. We're back in five.
The Jerry Bader Show is sponsored in part by American Metal Roofs.